You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
As you know, we are going through a series entitled The Apostles' Creed. And we have timed it in such a way that as we've spoken of this series, we've made sure that the resurrection moment and this is matched right on the day where Easter Sunday is. Now, in the series, just to give you guys an update, we are now on our sixth week, and over the last 5 weeks, we've discussed the reality of this document that has been around for hundreds of years, and is the basis of our faith. And that we, as we've said in the earlier series, this document is something that just about every denomination and Christian believes very similarly. And we've journeyed through the last 5 weeks, and I want to walk you through why we've gone through the series. First reason is we wanted to help you guys be able to define your faith. You really cannot believe something that you cannot even define. And many times Christians are shoved to and fro different beliefs and different notions and different understandings because they don't have a right definition of their faith. So the goal of the series is to help you clearly understand and define what it is that I believe. In this way, what tends to happen is Christians are inundated with all kinds of teachings that are really contrary to what their faith is. The second reason is to be able to defend our faith. Many times our faith is washed off from society and causes a lot of trouble in the areas of family and life because we're unable to explain or define and defend our faith. And finally, the inability for us to declare our faith. Last week, I talked to you about the importance of understanding our faith from a historical standpoint, that our faith is not merely pulled out from out of nowhere, but has a historical basis for our belief. Secondly, it's not just historical, it's theological. What that means is it has a proper way of understanding what we believe. Although we believe, we know and understand that what the Bible says is supernatural, anything of God is, and yet there is a logical understanding of what God is saying. And finally, we said that it's not just logical or historical, it is even very practical. In which case, we journey through the Apostles' Creed, which begins with the words, I believe. Everybody say, I believe. And you've said this as a Catholic, you've said this as a Methodist, you've said this as a Baptist, you've said this as a born-again Christian, whatever denomination you've come from, as a believer, it's not I believe in Victory Christian Fellowship or I believe in the Catholic Church. I believe. What is it that I believe? I believe in God. He's the creator of heaven and earth. That was our first week. Then we talked about I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I have to be saved. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. There is no way to save that. It's not by good works. It's not the relativity of my faith that I can add things and pick up things from different beliefs and tack them onto my belief. No, there is a Savior. And there is a man and a God named Jesus Christ who died for my sins and paid for my sins. Thirdly, we talked about the Holy Spirit, how we are enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit to live lives according to God intended our lives to be lived. Fourthly, we talked about the universal church. When the Apostles' Creed talks about the Holy Catholic Church, it's not referring to just one denomination or the Roman Catholic Church. It's referring to the universal body of Christ. Whether you go to Mongolia, or you go to Japan, you go to China, you go to Tondo, wherever you go, you're going to encounter people who believe the same thing because they are members of the body of Christ. Then in the fifth week, last week we talked about the suffering, the death, the crucifixion, and the burial of Christ and the significance of that. Why is that important to us? And today we're going to talk about the third day he rose again from the dead. Side by side with this, we're going to talk about the importance of the resurrection of the body and the everlasting life, which is the end statement of the Apostles' Creed. Next week, we're going to land this series talking about eternal judgment and how one day you and I are all going to go to heaven one day and face this moment of eternal judgment. As Christians, I talk to you about how the Easter celebration is one of the most important celebrations of Christianity. But as you and I know, more than anything else, what is largely celebrated is Christmas. In fact, if you're a Filipino, Christmas celebration starts in September. In other words, it's like 3 months of absolute celebration. And there's nothing wrong with celebrating Christmas. But the idea that God became man and a baby came to earth is a great idea. But if that baby never became an adult and never became the savior of the world or was never crucified, then there is no reason to even celebrate Christmas. In which case, Easter is the culmination of all of Christmas. The very idea that Jesus became the savior of the world and was crucified and died, was buried, is the reason why Easter is an important celebration that we need to celebrate every year. My wife, Marie, wrote a blog last Thursday, and I want to excerpt some quotes of why I believe Easter is more important than Christmas. In her blog, she said, "At Christmas, the good news was announced. At Easter, sin's power was denounced." The idea of denouncing something is to publicly humiliate that and to say the power of sin is rendered powerless because Jesus at Easter hung on the cross and died for you and me. It freed us to do, not to have to earn good works and good points, because Jesus has already paid the price for our sins. She further said that at Christmas, the manger was filled, but at Easter, the promise was fulfilled. And that's the essence of why this is an important conversation and why Easter is an important holiday to celebrate. There is no chapter in the Bible, and I urge you tonight when you go home, as you listen to this very brief message, go home and open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It is an important part of your faith. It's an important part of your life as a Christian and a believer. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 details for you your understanding of the resurrection life that comes from Jesus Christ. The more you understand that, the greater the level of stability you're going to have in your faith. You're not going to be pushed around by anything that happens in your life. There are three facets that I want to walk you through in light of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The first one is the reality of the resurrection life. The second thing I want to talk about is the relevance. Why is that important? Why is it that after thousands of years, we're still talking about this thing? And why are we still celebrating? Why is it that churches all across the city are still celebrating this Holy Week? The same way that you can end up celebrating Christmas for something that is not what it's for, is the same way you can ring a bell and fire away firecrackers and make sounds and say that I'm celebrating Easter. But if you don't understand the relevance and the importance of that to your day-to-day life, that faith, that belief is actually useless and just religious. The third thing that we want to look at is the reward of believing that. What happens? What do I get? Because I've understood its reality, I've received its relevance, and therefore there is a reward, there's something I get out of it. I want to talk to you first of all about the reality of the resurrection life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 3. The Apostle Paul reading in verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures." He begins by saying, what I'm delivering to you, what I'm handing down to you, what I'm saying to you, what I'm preaching to you right now, came from somewhere else. It's been delivered to me, but I'm delivering it to you, and I'm taking the moment right now to hand it over to you because it is of first importance. It is extremely important. As I've mentioned to you last week, the Apostles' Creed does not talk about the miracles of Christ. It does not talk about the teachings of Christ, the good works of Christ, because while those are good, they're not essential. The essential thing to our faith is that we're sinners, and we are hell bound unless Jesus saves us. And that's why our faith is important. Reading and understanding this part of the Apostles' Creed is far more important than all the blessing on all the teachings and all the miracles and all the power and all the gifts that Jesus could give you. Because this is fundamental to your faith. Now, further it says, what I also received. In other words, the Apostle Paul is talking about the reality of our faith that has to be transmitted to someone else. The reason why it got to us and the reason why it will get to our children, grandchildren, and descendants after us is because as we receive it, we're supposed to declare it to someone else. The way he got it to us was he received it from someone, and then it was he received it and passed it on to someone else. And further, as we've talked about over the last few weeks, the reality that Jesus Christ died for our sins in accordance to Scripture. Now, there are about three theories that have been spawned through the years, through the centuries, that this resurrection life is not true. And this is important for you to understand so that when you encounter someone out in the world that says, you know, the idea of Jesus Christ resurrecting from the dead is not really true. There's a swoon theory out there. The swoon theory is basically this. Jesus was overwhelmed by the pain and by the emotion of his crucifixion that he was swooned over, and basically he fainted and his heart stopped beating. Therefore, he did not die and he did not resurrect from the dead. The problem with that is really largely because it's historically inaccurate. It's because history tells us that Jesus was crucified by the Romans. If there's anything you need to understand about the Romans, they were experts at killing people. So that doesn't even make sense. In other words, for you to say that Jesus was just swooned over by the Romans, it's like, no, the Romans are just experts. They are precision people when it comes to killing people. That's their business. So the swoon theory doesn't fly. It doesn't work. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture. The Bible tells us that Jesus did not just die, he was buried, but not just buried, he literally resurrected from the dead. There's nobody in history who claims this thing, that he was once dead, and then after 3 days of dead, cold, no heartbeat, no brain waves, nothing, he literally resurrects from the dead according to what the Bible had prophesied. Powerful stuff. The second theory that people have called the mass hallucination theory. In other words, the people who said they saw Jesus were just hallucinating. They thought they saw something. It's like a ghost. Problem with this theory is this. First, verse 5 says that he appeared to Cephas. He showed up to this guy. This is Peter. And then he showed up to the 12. So in other words, you've got 12 witnesses, 13 witnesses to the fact that he lived. Now further, he just didn't show up to 12. He appeared to more than 500. You can hallucinate. I mean, you push back this 2,000 years ago. You didn't have smoke and mirrors. You didn't have the magic tricks of all these guys. You didn't have the technology. You didn't have the lights and sounds. You could hallucinate maybe 5-10 people. To hallucinate 500 people, that's a little too much. And these were witnesses. And they were saying, most of whom are still alive, though some of them have fallen asleep. Basically, what that says is they've died. This is not hallucination. This is a reality. Jesus resurrected from the dead. Before you understand its relevance, do you even believe its reality? Verse 7 says, then he appeared to James. James, by the way, as theologians would have it, was the brother of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that James became one of the apostles and one of the bishops in Jerusalem and worshiped Jesus. How weird is that? He did it because Jesus actually resurrected from the dead. He came. And finally then to all the apostles. He didn't just show up to the 500, to all the apostles. Last of all, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me. Now, there's the swoon theory, there's the multiple hallucination theory, but best of all, there's what they call the hoax theory. And basically, the hoax theory is this, that this is all a joke, that this is all a hoax, and the disciples basically hid Jesus' body and pretended that he resurrected from the dead and spawned this story to tell people that this Jesus died and resurrected from the dead. It's a hoax, it's a joke. I'm going to show you one of the most popular hoaxes on YouTube these days. It's called the Nutella hoax. The hoax is this. There's a guy who brings a bottle of Nutella into a bathroom. Okay, this is a public bathroom. And he grabs the Nutella in his hands. And then he pretends and sits down inside one of the cubicles. And then he calls out to the guy outside and says, excuse me, I don't have any tissue paper in here. Obviously, he has tissue paper. But he's calling out to the guy and saying, hey, can you get me some toilet paper? So the guy gets the toilet paper and hands it over to him. As he hands it over to him, he wipes his hand with Nutella. So as the guy retracts his hand, right? He's looking at this thing, he says, and he's beginning to say the S word and the F word. He's shouting now. He's angry. And he's banging on the door. Come out here. He's screaming his heart out. And then he walks over to the door and he's kicking the door, right? And it opens and the guy inside begins to say, it's a hoax, it's a hoax, it's a joke. Here's the point. People who do hoaxes are not willing to die for a hoax. In contrast, when you look at the disciples of Jesus, Matthew was killed violently by a sword. Didn't denounce, didn't recant, didn't say, don't kill me, it's all a joke, it's not true. Jesus did not die, he did not resurrect from the dead. No, he said, he did, and you can kill me all day long. In contrast, Mark, one of the apostles of Jesus, was dragged by horses in Egypt, in Alexandria. History tells us that this disciple was strapped onto horses and dragged everywhere until he died. Never renouncing, never recanting, never saying it never happened, but to his last breath kept saying he did resurrect from the dead. In contrast, Luke died because he was dragged by idolatrous priests in Greece. He was preaching in Greece and refused to recant and said, no, Jesus did resurrect from the dead. And you can kill me all day long because he did, and I'm not changing my mind. In contrast, among all the disciples of Jesus, among the main apostles of Jesus, the one person who died a peaceful death was John. But before he died a peaceful death, the Romans boiled him in oil. And after they boiled him in oil, he survived. They put him in Patmos. They exiled him in Patmos to serve in the mines. And while he was there, he kept preaching to everybody that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He died at 90 years old, believing every bit of what he's witnessed. Peter was crucified upside down and refused to be crucified right side up because he said, I don't deserve the glory that only Jesus deserves. Each one of these men, to the very end, James the Just, the brother of Jesus himself, was thrown down from the very temple in Jerusalem. James the Greater was beheaded by the Romans. Bartholomew was flayed to death in Armenia. The next four, Andrew was crucified in Greece. Thomas was stabbed to death with a lance in India, reaching out the lost, telling them about Jesus. Matthias was stoned and beheaded. And finally, you've got Jude, who was stoned to death in Italy. And even Paul himself, who wrote this, we all know, was tortured and beheaded by no less than the Emperor Nero. Each one refusing to deny, each one refusing to denounce, each one refusing to recant, each one saying, you can behead me multiple times, this is what happened. I hope you've understood the reality of the resurrection life. The question is, what is its relevance to me today? Why is this important, an important conversation? Well, for us who are believers, and for those of you who may not be a believer, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 14 says, as Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. I mean, all the years that we've been listening to this Bible and preaching and talking about this thing is a waste of time. Your faith is in vain. In other words, this thing that we call Christianity, this faith that we believe in, is a waste of time. It's a vain thing. The problem with modern day Christianity, that's why we're talking about the Apostles' Creed, is we think that this thing called Christianity began with us not realizing its rich history. The problem is we think that the songs we sing are more Christians than the ones who really died for this thing. And we've lost the essence of our faith, that there's a cost to this thing. And our preaching is in vain if we don't believe this thing. Further, it says we are found to be misrepresenting God. In other words, if this thing is not true, then I'm a hoax. Then what we're doing and everybody else who's preaching the gospel is a hoax. We're misrepresenting God. Because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not, if he did not raise him. If it was true, then God has not been raised. And this is a waste of time. For the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Our sins are still there. The guilt is still there. We wake up every day with this nagging thought that I'm guilty and that one day God's going to judge me if the resurrection life was not true. In verse 18 and 19, though, then those also who have been fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If Christ, we have hope only in this life. This is an amazing thought. If the only hope for Christ is another great teaching that will motivate me to go through my week, then we're to be pitied. And sometimes Christianity has become this self-help thingy that people, I just want to get blessed. I just want to go through my week. If we blow this down to that level of faith, folks, then we are to be pitied. If we're just coming here so we can be motivated without realizing that this is something far greater than that, far more eternal, something of greater value than just the week or the month or the year that I'm going through. But then he goes on to say in verse 35, the relevance of this is when someone asks you, how are the dead raised? And he said, with what body will they come from? What if somebody asks you, can you defend your faith? Can you declare your faith? Can you define your faith? Can you actually explain to somebody, if somebody came to you today and said, Joey, how are the dead raised? How does this happen? What's the diagram? What's the flow chart? What's the process? What do, when I put in this in machine, how does it come out this way? And Paul begins to answer this question, and he says this, you foolish person, you don't understand that what you sow does not come to life until it dies. In other words, think about gardening. If you want to understand resurrection, think gardening. He says, what you sow does not come to life until it first dies. Before something becomes life, it has to die. In fact, that is so obvious with everything you eat. Everything you eat, you just think about that and you'll understand the resurrection life. Because a fruit and a plant does not come to life until you sow it as a seed that's dead. It begins with a dead seed. To be able to visualize a seed becoming that big tree with big roots and a big trunk, massive branches, massive leaves, and massive fruits is hard to imagine, and that's how unimaginable. If you're asking me to draw you a chart and a process, I can't. Because not anyone can actually explain that. They can probably do some kind of science research and explanation, but it pales and fails in comparison because to fully explain that is something daily miraculous to us. But that's what he's saying. It first has to die before it becomes. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. He's saying this is just the starting point. And the parallel is like gardening. If you want to understand this, just look at the gardeners. You see it every day. But God gives it a body as he chooses to each kind of seed its own body. In other words, if you look at this room, you all have different bodies. You all don't look the same. There's a semblance, but it's all different. The faith, the expectation, the encouragement, the relevance of being bold is because I know this is reality. I don't just know it's reality. I know it's relevant for me. That this life I live, despite all the sufferings, despite all the harm, despite all the hurt, will one day be transformed. Verse 39, for not all flesh is the same. He begins to say, not all flesh is the same. Do you understand that? But there is one kind for humans, there's another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. Basically, what he's saying is this. You take fish, and you look at the body of the fish, it's scales, it's got lungs, it's got all of these things, it's different. Further, he says, flesh is not the same. And then he says, more than that. If you figure that one out, how to mash all the tigers and the lions and all of that and how they all, and put them all together, you look at the heavenly bodies and the earthly bodies. The glory of the heaven is one kind and the glory of the earth. In other words, you mash all of those together. It still doesn't come close to what this is going to look like. Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? He says, look at the heavens, guys. Look at the sun. look into those telescopes and the colors, the sizes, the varieties. And that's why you have hope. Because one day I'm going to see him again. That's why there's hope. That in the midst of whatever suffering I'm going through in this life is temporary, folks. And thanks be to God. One day, this little old boy is resurrecting from the dead. And there's a glorious body, that he says. Verse 41, there is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and the stars differ. In other words, all this glory, all these things, mash them together, it's nothing. It's amazing. It's a reflection of God's love for you. In the funeral of Lassir, they gave us little packets. 38 of us were given packets of live butterflies. Apparently, you can now buy big, fat, live butterflies from Facebook now. I mean, if you go to Facebook and ask who supplies this thing. And so they found a supplier. And they gave 38 of us these packets. That at the count of whatever, we opened this thing and we let these butterflies flutter. It was a touching moment as you watch these butterflies and as the coffin is being covered, because it's a reminder for us of the resurrection life, the finality of the burial, and yet the reality of resurrection. That's what a butterfly is. It's a resurrected caterpillar. We've seen an ugly caterpillar and beautiful butterflies. It's a glimpse of the reality and the relevance of why this discussion is important. And finally, the reward. The reward of believing the resurrection life. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. As I've said, I'm jumping from verse to verse because of the richness of the text. But I encourage you as followers of people. You know, faith is very similar to elections. Here's the reason why. Don't just believe what other people say. Go find out for yourself. Go home and read this thing. Don't just believe the guy who tells you I'm voting for so-and-so. Go find out what your real convictions are. What is it that you really believe? And find the guy who measures up to those convictions. Or the girl, or the woman. The point is, don't just listen to somebody. Particularly with matters as important as this. Go home tonight. Open your Bible. Read it for what it is. Put your faith in it because this matters. This is important stuff. And he says, here's the reward. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. This is perishable. No amount of squats. No amount of squats and lunges, folks. No amount. No, you can try as hard as you can. You're going to have arthritis somewhere in your butt. It's just the way it is. I don't know how to explain it further than that. It is sown perishable. But you know the good news? It will be raised imperishable. One day that butterfly-looking, glorious mixture of stars and heavenly glories and color and translucent skin is never going to perish again. I put my faith in that. It's worth putting my faith in that. It's worth dispensing of every other good ideology and belief and faith that's out there and saying, no, I don't believe in that. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in those. Why? Because one day this is going to happen to me. That's why I believe. Don't just believe that. It's sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. As a minister now for since 1989, I have been beside sick beds and death beds. There is nothing honorable about death and sickness. Nothing. I've been around the richest and the poorest. I've seen kids and I've seen adults. I've seen women and I've seen men. I've seen rich people whose toupee will fall off and false teeth will fall off and there's nothing glorious about it. The best thing you can do for yourself is to prepare yourself and know one day I'm going to be there. I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm just telling you the truth. The good news is it promises us that we will be raised in glory. Glory beyond anything that I can ever imagine. Glory of the heavens, glory of fishes, glory. Mush that all together. And it doesn't even come close to the glory that I'm going to be raised in. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. No amount of technology, no amount of food supplements I can swallow. And folks, I believe in all of that. Don't get me wrong, okay? I believe in all of that. The point is not that. The point is those things have a limit. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, he says, there is also a spiritual body. He tries to close this and says, when the perishable, this thing, puts on the imperishable, when the perishable is swallowed up, another text in the NIV says, and the mortal is swallowed up by immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written. He's saying, then we can all declare this and say, death is swallowed up in victory. The greatest, the worst thing that you and I are ever going to confront in our lives is death. The final frontier, the final enemy, the one that you and I are going to go face to face one day, the one that's going to cause you to have concerns. And he says, you can look at death and say, you're swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death? In other words, this is the first, I think this is the one time where the Bible actually allows you to trash talk. You can trash talk death. In other words, don't trash talk everybody. You can trash talk death. The author of trash talking is Muhammad Ali. If you understand, Muhammad Ali started trash talking. He would trash talk people before he would fight them. He would trash talk them. And once he's trash talked them, he can knock them out. That's what you need to do with death. You trash talk them before you get into the fight. Amen? Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Can't touch me. Because thanks be to God, he gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. I have the victory. I'm going to resurrect from the dead. And while I was cleaning my office at home, I found this video. It's an old video of a very old movie that I was planning to watch but never got around to watching, that it was still sealed. So I decided to take the video and walk over to my father's room. My father, as you know, lives with me. He's 86 years old now. I knocked on the door and I said, Pop, do you want to watch this video? I said, it's Alec Guinness. He said, yes, I want to watch Alec Guinness. You guys know Alec Guinness was Obi-Wan Kenobi of Star Wars, and he was already a grandfather by that time. So this is really an old movie. So I said, it's about these veterans from who wanted to go to Normandy. And they're now in their 70s, and they wanted to recount. Normandy was D-Day. That's where the final assault on Europe was. And thousands of people died, and these American and British veterans wanted to go and visit that. It's a comedy, actually. And the comedy was, there was this American soldier and there was this British soldier, and they both wanted to go back to Normandy, not for the memories, but because they were looking for the same girl. As it turns out, the girl was an easy girl, and he made it out with everybody, and not just the two of them. So now they're frustrated. But there's a scene in this movie where this British soldier and the American soldier are both sitting and overlooking the Normandy coast. And the American soldier asked the other British soldier, he said, why do you keep tagging along this other man instead of bringing your wife? He said, I don't have a wife, and this man's important to me. He said, you see, I was down there when all the bombs was exploding and people were dying around me. And that crazy man that you see me dragging around was actually a hero that was awarded. The whole movie, you never understood why this crazy man was always with him. And he said, he saved my life. In fact, he gave my life 50 more years. In those 50 years, I was able to build a business, and that's why he cleans the furniture in my store, and I'll take care of him for the rest of his life. The point of that story is this. When you know the cost, when you know the value of something, you begin to understand and you begin to appreciate it. When you don't know the cost of something, which is why you need to be reminded every Holy Week, Jesus died on the cross, was crucified, and was buried, so that you and I can live for eternity and enjoy resurrection life. Many times, some of you kids don't understand this. You don't respect your parents enough because you don't understand the cost. Cost is important. When you get something for free, it's not because it's worthless. It's because someone's paying for it. If you're enjoying certain benefits in your house and certain food, it's not because it's free. It's free to you. It's not free to your parents who are earning it. Likewise, when you're enjoying the benefits of Christianity, the reality, I'm saved. I have a future. I have an eternal destiny. The relevance of that truth, not just the reality, the relevance and the reward that I get of resurrecting from the dead by simply putting my faith in Him. That's the reason why Easter is important. When we walk through life knowing exactly why this is important, we know the reality, the relevance, and the reward that we get, we live through life differently. The Apostle Paul closes 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with verse 48 where he says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Don't be moved. The idea of the Apostles' Creed and the importance of that document is restating for us the resurrection from the dead that comes because Jesus Christ rose on the third day. Amen? Would you stand on your feet as we close in the word of prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Close your eyes, bow your heads. Give the Holy Spirit a few minutes to speak to you. Pastor Joel said worship is singing and all of that, and that's true. Because if you can't even do it here, you're not going to do it out there. But the fact of the matter is the Christian life is not a Sunday moment. It's a daily fact. To walk free, to walk without condemnation and guilt and to be weighed down, to know my destiny is set. The worst thing that can happen to me has already been defeated by my God. Amen? Don't walk out of here and say, "Hey, that was a great service. That was a great message." Ooh, walk out of here knowing the whole truth and nothing but the truth and to live in that truth. Amen? Close your eyes and let the Lord speak to you. There's some of you, you're here today and you're just a visitor. Your friends brought you here. And if that's you, Jesus publicly destroyed sin and darkness in your life. Publicly humiliated himself, naked on a cross, crucified, wounded for our sins. And he's saying to you right now, publicly, would you declare me? I love you. I love you. I want to save you. I want to give you all of me. If that's you today and you're saying, "Pastor, I never understood Christianity this way," just lift up both your hands towards heaven. His grace is sufficient. His grace is here. His mercy is here. If that's you, just lift it up. Yes, yes. Anyone else? Yes, yes. Anybody else? You're saying, "Jesus, would you just pray this prayer with me, Father? Thank you for giving me Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to resurrect from the dead. The joy of my salvation. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. Help me to repent and to turn away and to trust nothing and no one but you. This is my simple prayer done in faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen." Let me close in prayer. Lord, thank you for Easter Sunday, an annual reminder and celebration of your goodness and your love towards your people. We love you, Lord, And to you be praise, glory forever and ever. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Happy Easter. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download at joeybonifacio.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.